Good evening and welcome to the Extraordinarily Fresh Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host for week one, Shane McCrary, BKA The Prez. With me today, I have AJ, Brad, and Eric.
Good evening.
Good evening. What's up, everybody? This is AJ, also known as Henri P. McCoy, Frenchman, Beast. Going down.
So, just to give you all a quick rundown of what's going to happen, essentially, this is a podcast covering everything that happens within the league. We're going to go over some very key points in week one. We're going to talk about our draft, which just wrapped up on Monday. We're going to talk about this season, what to expect from it, and also what you all can expect from us from week to week. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and kick into our first segment, which is nonsense. So at this point, what's going on? Like, I feel like we don't have enough hate in the league this year. What do you think, AJ?
Yeah, man, right now, I think, you know, it's week one. We're waiting to see, you know, the losers in this week, the winners in this week. I already know I'm going to be in that W column, so I'm sure plenty of people will hate me after this week is over. Okay. I think that's all it is. You know, we need winners and losers for the hate to start.
Wow, winners and losers. So what about you, Brad or Eric? What do you guys think?
I thought the draft Sunday night was a magical moment. That was one of the best drafts we had. I think we're all talking about the Spencer Ware episode. That was totally out of the blue. But I think we all have some weaknesses.
The draft was definitely crazy. There were a lot of things that that went right, but when you're 14 deep, 19 roster spots, it causes you to have to do your homework. Basically, this podcast is going to bring a lot of information to the forefront for everyone that listens. But what are you guys expecting from the season this year? I think this is going to be one of the most difficult time frames, simply because it's a very long season for us. And, you know, with the depth that we have, it's going to be a difficult season. I think a lot of teams are even this year, starting out versus in the past, where we've kind of had a clear-cut juggernaut.
Yeah, definitely. I was looking at the league earlier just at the matchups and the projected point totals and stuff, and I thought, it seemed a lot closer than it was last year. Maybe my memories failed me a little bit, but that's the first takeaway I when I was looking at it earlier today, just at all the matchups in general.
Yeah. I believe adding that extra flex spot, you know, those extra 14 players really did do a lot to even the league out.
Yeah, I'll say that it definitely did. I think this is going to be a year where you really have to really pay attention and really know what your opponent's weaknesses are in order to establish what your team can do. Because honestly, 14 teams, getting rid of the kicker spot and adding an extra flex, that's definitely going to add to the strength of everyone, but I think it also creates a weakness as well.
Well, it's gonna make when injuries happen a lot more interesting too, because you know everybody's already have with the extra roster spots, everybody already has a lot of the backups, so we're gonna be looking at backups on the waiver wire, so that'll make things a little more interesting too from week to week.
The waiver wire we saw last night with Brad and also Chad going. I'm going all in. I guess the waiver wire looks like it's pretty slim this year. And
here's the thing with the waiver wire. You had some rookies that didn't get drafted, and only a handful of people that were left. So ultimately, you're really trying to figure out what's going to be the best way to make the most out of your team. And quite frankly, there were only maybe three impact players that were out there. And I think one of them we saw, Mr. Washington out of Oakland, clearly went as the top free agent pickup at $100.
Actually, Schrapp went for 105. Brad went 105 on that.
Ah, you are.
I went 106 on Sean.
Yes, 106.
Yes, sir.
Wow. So, we had
some ballsy, sir.
Well, you got to remember this, AJ. We're 14 teams. The pickings were already slim, and they just basically became non-existent after last night. So,
hey, I'm not going to say anything one way or another about another man's strategy. I'll say this. It's ballsy. That's a lot. It's a lot to put on one player.
Yeah,
it could pay off, you know? I mean, it's a risk-reward type of thing. Sometimes you got to take a risk.
So if we look at the waiver wire, there was quite a few transactions that that took place around the league. I don't know if anyone made more transactions than myself, where it looks like I actually added two guys to my roster. And then, of course, good old Nemesis added three players to his roster. So it definitely looks like Nemesis and myself are trying to make some moves to establish that depth. I think everybody has a good starting roster, but everyone was really trying to fill in that depth location on their roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that when you look at everybody's roster top to bottom, when we were talking about how little separation there is, I think it's really because everybody has a hole somewhere. And even for those who seem to have a pretty good starting roster, they oftentimes don't have anybody sitting on their bench. And you're right. It's definitely unnecessary to find a way to increase that depth somehow. But we know what's going to happen. People are going to get injured. All of a sudden, somebody we had no idea was going to be, you know, a key player at all is going to pop up off the waiver wire, some free agent that gets picked up off the street. It's going to be interesting to see who gets those people this season. I believe that people are going to have to be really savvy about the trades they make. And the trades that we're going to make this year literally might change, you know, how many points you're putting up on the board, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 points. But that's going to be all the difference in the world with such tight competition.
Well, you're right about that. So looking at the waiver wire, it looks like the position that was picked up the most was wide receiver, followed by running back. Now, given that we added an extra flex spot, what do you think was the mentality of the league, given that most people probably wanted to go running back but couldn't just because of depth? You're bidding in the draft, you know, on three third and fourth string guys trying to actually build them in your lineup. So do you think the league made the right move in trying to go receiver over running back, even though there were some intriguing options still out there and are still out there?
On the waiver wire, you mean?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess it's probably a personal preference for what your team needs. I mean, speaking personally for myself with Sharp, looking at my roster, I already had 8 or 9 running backs on my roster. Of course, most of them are backups or second string. So I thought I needed some help at wide receiver, and there definitely was more available on the waiver wire with leftover rookies and such. It made the wide receiver position a little more available to start off with.
I had to go wide receiver and get Boyd last night due to my draft. I got shut out of most of the wide receivers. So that was my strategy. I upped the bid. I had about 60, and I said, I think someone's going to go all in. Brad had hinted he was going all in, so I thought he was going all in on a receiver wing, on a running back, but I still upped it. I was surprised he went after a wide receiver.
And it sounds like you're playing a poker game. I thought he was going to go all in. No, but you know what? It's I think I personally was looking for wide receivers just because the running backs who were left in a PPR league, I didn't think they were going to get enough catches to really, you know, consistently score the points that I wanted. And, you know, I feel like sometimes you can find a receiver in that waiver wire that might not be, you know, the deep threat or might not be the guy who's getting 15 yards a catch, but might get you 6, 7 catches a game. So that was, I mean, for me, that was my strategy.
Right. Like I said, that kind of personal preference for what your team need is, you know, because I like I said, I have 8 or 9 running backs, and then I have a wide receiver in Devontae Parker who is questionable and injured all the time and stuff, so I need some more depth at wide receiver. So I did go in all in on Sharp because I like his promise coming up with Mariota and stuff and as a possible keeper even for the future. So I thought he was worth my free agent money to start off with, and that may hurt me down the road. I guess we'll wait and see how he turns out. But, you know, that's the risk-reward thing that AJ was talking about.
Hey, Brad, I might have a trade in mind for you, brother.
Oh, yeah? I'm open.
We'll talk later.
So, speaking about decisions and life lessons, what the hell? Zeke went for $97? Now, let's think about what we did this offseason where with the rookies, you don't get 2 this year. You only get 1. And on top of that, there is I believe it was a 20% increase for every year, and it's a minimum of 2 years that they have to be on the roster. So you only get $250 for your entire budget, including your keepers. So if you spent $97 this year, you got to keep them with that 20% increase. You're looking at almost $120 on one player.
Yeah.
You have 19 slots to fill, and almost half of your budget is one player.
Well, that's year 2. Year 3, it will be more than half the budget.
Exactly. So the question becomes, at what point in the rookie draft do you have to say, you know what, enough is enough?
Yeah, I thought using our actual budget money this year changed the game quite a bit, and I actually preferred it, and I thought it lent more for strategy because everybody last year was basically just willing to spend all their fab on, you know, 1 or 2 players depending on, you know, if they're going all in on one guy or, you know, kind of splitting it up between a couple of guys.
It definitely begs the question, will he regret that? I'm going to go all in and say yes. What were some of the biggest surprises or triumphs that you guys saw out of the rookie draft? For me personally, I think one of the biggest regrets was AJ coming in and actually increasing bids on everyone. Our special guest for week 1, Ronnie, who is the coach for the Great One, his team, I'm sure he'll chime in on that when he comes in. But, AJ, what the hell were you thinking when you did that? Or were you thinking at all?
I was thinking that I got the player that I wanted and I made other people spend more money than they wanted to spend. That took money out of their budget. And it made it more difficult for them to draft in the draft and compete. You know, I took money out of people's draft budgets, and that was on purpose. It was shitty, but I did it.
So ultimately, you admit to trying to unequivocally sabotage things. I get it.
Hey, look, I worked within the rules, you know. Very, very Bill Belichick-ish on this one right here, right? Change the rule next year. That's all I'm saying, Chris.
Well, wasn't he just doing the same thing a lot of us did during the actual veteran draft, and he's just basically price checking everybody? I mean, just bumping them up.
Essentially, that was my thought process. It wasn't just that I was being a dick. It was right. That I felt like certain players should go at a certain value. And, I mean, like, you know, a player like a Laquan Treadwell shouldn't be going at $3. That doesn't make sense. Right. And so, you know, knowing, and especially with the rule in place that the price is going to go up 20% and 25%. I did not want somebody to keep a quality player for the next 3 years that they're spending no money on, because every year they're going to have an excess of money in their draft.
Right.
But essentially you still didn't help, because it's not like there was a significant increase across the board. You still got guys going for really essentially what they would have cost in the draft per se. So did you really help yourself, or did you just bring up the market value ahead of time?
I helped myself in that I won't have to worry about 3 or 4 other teams I'm playing against every year having a player that they're only paying $5 for that should be valued at $35.
Based on your own assumption?
Yes.
Interesting. Well, I'll say this. I think the biggest surprise out of the draft was definitely house money. Spending $70 on 2 quarterbacks and already banned once for earning the Putrid Trophy. I really feel like he's about to get a lifetime ban because I feel like he's about to head down that road again. This league is definitely set up different than what it was 5 years ago in terms of the rules, money, free agents. And I really think that, you know, I love Roland like a brother, but I feel like he just he was drunk or something when we did this, because clearly $70 for two quarterbacks with a 19-team roster just doesn't seem like it was the best move.
Well, I was in a bidding war with him for Wilson. I was shocked he was still going up when he hit 40. I wanted Wilson, but then I realized I didn't even know he had I wasn't as old once, but I didn't know. I don't know if he took him first, but I said 40. I can just wait and get a quarterback. You know, maybe not as good as Russell Wilson or Cam Newton, but I ended up getting Kirk Cousins for 4 compared to $70. So I was surprised he kept going up, and I finally said, I'll let him have it.
So let me ask you this question, Eric. What's going on with Zeke? You know, we kind of brought this up, and
oh, yes.
I definitely want your input on this. Please shed some light on this.
Well, my feeling is I was looking at a 3-year window. I did realize there was an increase, but I had Jimmy Graham at $1, and I held on to Jeremy Hill for 21. And my feeling is, looking at last year, Lynch, most of the top running backs, I thought there was scarcity. I kept two running backs. I feel you're looking at $50, $60, some of these running backs they're going for. I figured I can make some adjustments. I'm comfortable with it. Next year I'll evaluate. Maybe it means I have one less keeper to keep. I'll only keep two of the keepers compared. And I just feel like Zeke has a lot of upside. And I understand there's an increase next year. I'll have to deal with it. I'll have to make a cut somewhere else. Maybe go a little lighter on the tight end. But I'm comfortable with it. I know it is controversial, but I think we'll be, at his age, one of the best running backs. And after year 3, if I can skate through this, the value long term will be him. It was gutsy, and JR did bid it up, and can't blame him. He just was playing the game, and I'll take responsibility.
Yeah, you know, gentlemen, if you don't mind, I'd love to just add something to this. It's interesting. I think it speaks to the nature of this league and how difficult it is, how willing people are to take extreme chances. You know, it's almost as if you have to in order to separate yourself from the rest of the league.
I think you have to if you want to make a move, especially maybe even more so in a case like myself or Eric, who are newer, and we kind of got stuck with a little bit less than what you all started with last year. And so I got to come compete with, you know, Chad, who's, you know, pulling out Gronkowski and Brown and Robinson as his keepers, you know, and those kind of players are tough to get. So I don't totally agree with Eric on, I wouldn't have spent 97 on Zeke. I didn't, obviously. But I took the chance with Sharp spending all my free agent money. So I think we kind of have to do that, maybe to try to find that guy, to try to find somebody who, like Eric said, maybe after 3 years, he'll have that value. So he's looking forward. He's going to struggle maybe the next 2 years as the price goes up to keep his team together to spend on other guys. But, you know, like you just said, it might be the kind of risk you almost have to take if you want to make a move in this league.
I definitely agree. I feel like, you know, this is how you're going to have to win it. Hopefully Eric can win it all this year, because if he doesn't, then he is definitely going to have to do some creative thinking when it comes to putting his team together. All right, so let's talk about, since you mentioned waivers, and we've kind of touched on it a little bit, let's talk about it. So the number one player that got picked up for $106 was Mr. Sharp. So what was the thought process? You said you had to go all in, but what do you expect him to bring to your team?
Well, he definitely has the upside. He has the upside of possibly being the number one receiver on a admittedly probably average offense, maybe, depending on the kind of steps that Mariota can take forward. So I don't know if he'll have a huge upside for me. I needed depth at wide receiver because of, like I mentioned before, the Devontae Parker injury situation. And also just for future, because if he breaks out and he's somebody I can potentially keep for, you know, next year or years to come, then I have that in my bag. But really, I mean, like what we just talked about, it's kind of taking a chance on trying to make a move. And I talked to Chad a little bit about, we went back and forth with some messages earlier today because he spent on Washington and I spent on all my money on Sharp. And it's kind of like, I know Eric got Boyd for 80, but it's almost to the point where if I bid 80 or so or 90 on Sharp and I get him and I'm left with, you know, $15 or $20 in fab money, is that really going to get me anybody important when I got 10 or 11 guys who still have $100 in fab or close to $100? I'm still going to get outbid. So my thinking was, if I have to spend it all on one guy, I'm going to make sure I get him because I have the most money left over from the draft, so I had an extra $10, and I think Ronnie might have been second with 105, so I knew if I bet 106, I could get whoever I wanted. And it kind of came down to I wanted Sharp, I needed wide receivers. I thought about switching to Washington yesterday for a few minutes, but then I just had to go Sharp in a PPR league. I need the receiving help. So that was kind of my thinking behind it, and just try to get that guy to make a difference this year or in the future.
I can definitely understand that logic. Definitely nothing wrong with that. Hey, AJ, I see you picked up Beasley. What caused that move?
Honestly, same thing everybody else has been saying. I was just looking for any way I could possibly put a little bit more depth on my team. I also had looked at a couple of my players, and I had some bye weeks in which I was going to have multiple players down, and I felt like I needed to get a player that I could use in that week. And, you know, because everything is so scarce, you know, you got to look 10, 7, 8, 12 weeks in advance to make sure you're covering yourself for possible scenarios in which you could, you know, your whole season could fall apart. I mean, literally in this league, you could lose one game and be kicked out of the playoffs. Or you could lose, you know, the championship by 0.6 points and want to punch everything in the world in the face.
Right. So when we talk about bad decisions, let's talk about this draft real quick. There was one player in particular that stood out to me that I feel was definitely overpaid for. Me personally, I would go with Doug Martin at $57. Quite frankly, there's talent. I know that you're going to have guys out there. CJ Anderson runs a close second at 54, but given the depth behind him and what they turned the team over for, you're talking about a guy that's on a team that may or may not run the ball effectively in the red zone, given the wide receivers. So when you look at some of the other running backs and what they went for, the few that were out there, you know, Bernard went for 35. You had Danny Woodhead going for 35, Rashad Jennings for 31. You know, it makes it difficult to kind of explain why we would spend that much. And then you have Terrence West going for $8. And then, oh, my bad, Travis Benjamin going for $35. Can you explain that one?
No, not totally. I at that point I was kind of stuck on wide receivers and I needed somebody. And to me, he was probably the best option at that point. And I really needed to get somebody and I had money. And, I do not remember who was bidding him up, but somebody kept bidding me up and I got to the point where I just kind of had to get him. So I was about to my max and that's where it ended up.
I'm pretty sure that was Skip who bid you up on that one.
Probably, because he had the most money with me. We were both similar money lines at that time, I believe.
Oh, no, definitely. I don't know if all you guys are paying attention to it, but I noticed it at least 8 or 9 times. Because Skip had such a high budget, he could push people to have to spend way more than they wanted to. And he did, and I can't blame him for using that strategy.
Well, after taking a deeper look at it, I have to recant my statement. Definitely Victor Cruz going for $9 by far has got to be the biggest outcry of crime in our draft.
That was the silliest thing I've ever – who was it Roland or was it who got – I would have thought it was Roland.
Actually, Ish got him.
Ah, it was Ish. Okay. Makes sense.
So it just,
I don't know why anybody would root for the New York Giants, but, you know, whatever.
Well, I bid 54 of the Anderson. The reason being, I wanted to get one more running back, and I saw the other running backs on the board, and I figured the other running backs may not go for 54, but I thought they would be priced up because the quantity of quality running backs was becoming very slim. So I thought if I have to make a trade, I think running back. I looked at the other teams, and I saw a couple teams didn't even have a running back at the time, or they had one. So I figured, I figured the other people are going to have to pay in the 40s, and they did. I saw Jonathan Stewart. I think he went in the 40s, and a couple other guys I don't remember. So I thought, you know, was pricey, but for the value, I thought with the Denver running offense, I thought it'd be a good
value at that price.
Gotcha. So let me get AJ and Brad's take. What do you think was the best and worst player and value from the draft? Just real quick, what do you think the best player for price and the worst?
Brad, you want to go ahead and take that first?
Well, I mean, I thought towards the end of the draft, I mean, when everybody's kind of run out of money, that there was some good values. I know. I guess some people had some issues with their browser at one point when I got Crowell for $5, which kind of made some people mad. I know he's not really going to be a huge game changer for any reason, maybe unless Duke Johnson gets hurt or something. But for overall value, though, I mean, it's really hard to say because I think a lot of the backups – possibly. A lot of it depends on injury. If somebody like, you know, McKinnon, I got McKinnon for like $9 or, you know, somebody like that could really make a difference if the starter goes down. But I thought overall that there weren't a ton of, like, value. I thought everybody who is probably a real difference maker, at least for now, before injuries, I thought was pretty fairly valued, if not overvalued, like we talked about with some of the running backs. I could be wrong unless AJ has somebody in mind.
You know what? Honestly, I was more – I thought more of the wide receivers went overvalued than I saw running backs. Honestly, I really do feel like the running backs pretty much stayed true to value. And – you know, to speak to the pick that we were talking about earlier, you know, with that Broncos running offense and the fact that they don't really have a quarterback right now and they're probably going to have to rely heavily on that running offense, it probably wasn't a bad move at that price. You know, like, you can figure out some other ways later in the draft to, you know, compromise on one or two other picks for something that is a value pick for you. What I saw... And to piggyback off of Brad, was there were several second-string running backs that went way overvalued. If you want to talk about running backs that went high, one of the things that I noticed, you know, in this league, because people are so savvy, we knew who was looking for their handcuff. And when these handcuffs were popping up, people were bidding those handcuffs up. Like, if you're going to get it, you're going to have to pay for it. And there's a lot of guys who aren't going to see any time on the field but went for $8, $9, $10, which is a huge amount of money when you're looking at somebody that's probably never going to leave your bench.
Yep, I definitely agree. So we got our take on that. So at this point, I'm going to bring in an old voice that we love to hate but have to hear, and that's going to be our old commissioner. So Skip, why don't you come in and talk to us about our post-draft power rankings and how much coffee you had to drink in doing it for pulling an all-nighter, because clearly there were quite a few mistakes made. But at this point, we're going to turn it over to you.
Hey, Skip, if I'm anything but first place, I'm going to boo you.
So Shane intimated that I have to drink coffee because there were mistakes. No, the only reason he thinks there are mistakes is because he's not number one.
Now we have the only commissioner in the world who would use the word intimated. I just want you to know that.
Okay, so yes, I did spend a fair amount of time on this, and of course, like everyone knows, I had a huge project that I was doing at the time too, and I finished it up and I made sure I read through it and got it up. But the preseason power rankings were, you know, I'll say difficult. There are, in my opinion, four teams that kind of sit at the top, and then everyone else at the bottom is kind of a mess. You know, you can kind of put them in a bag, shake it up, and then throw all the contents of the bag out in whatever order it falls in.
It's all trash.
That's it. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'll go through it really quickly. So the preseason power rankings really reflect the standing last year, so where you finished last year, and then your keepers, and then how you did in the draft. So it's a little bit of all of those elements. So, of course, Chad, you know, our great champion, is up first. He's a well-deserved champion, man. He's been in the league and diligently working throughout the years, and it was good to see him win a championship. Okay, yeah, Ronnie says it wasn't, but we'll bring him in for that later. But he deserved the championship, I will say. But he did bring in, you know, stellar keepers in Brown and Robinson and Gronk, and then he made some pretty good moves. He actually snaked DJ Foster from me, so, you know, that alone gave him some points.
All right. Like, it's difficult to overrun you, but
all right, so second and third, I actually have JR and then Ross. I know a lot of people think that that might be actually inverted, but the reason that I went with JR at second is simply because his starting lineup actually has a lot more firepower. When you look at JR and Ross, they're kind of similarly constituted, but it's that RB2, and that's what I looked at. So Ross has a pure pass-catching back in Theo Riddick as his RB2, whereas JR has Matt Jones, who has potential. Of course, he's had some injuries, but he does have the potential to be a very solid RB2, and so I gave the edge to JR there.
Hey, Chris,
yep.
Two things. One, have you ever contemplated a career in sports broadcasting? And two, boo!
Yeah, we're watching the game during the podcast, so that's what's going on. All right, anyway.
It was a very nice interception.
So at four is the aforementioned and Henri P. McCoy. Is that how you want it said, AJ?
Henri.
Okay.
P. McCoy.
Yeah. So AJ.
Bringing the Frenchman back, man. I love to be hated.
So AJ, our runner-up from last year, is.
Ooh! Nobody needed to hear that, Chris.
He's in fourth place. The Frenchman, you know, he always fields a good team. He fields a playoff team. Generally every year, so in general he'll be at this part of the power rankings until he proves otherwise. At 5 and 6 we have Shane, the president.
That's right. Show some respect.
And then we have Jewel, and I'm actually pretty happy to put Jewel actually up this high. She did really well considering what she had as her keepers and then how things were being done in the draft. The only thing I would say about Shane is that, you know, he does have a general lack of depth, and I think he'll, you know, knowing Shane and his trading propensity, he will definitely do something about that soon.
Hey, but I won't be driving while I do it this time. Yeah, we learn from those mistakes.
Yeah. And then Jewel, I would say she was very calm, kind of under pressure in the draft, and she ended up getting some pretty good values. The only thing I'll say about her is that she did not grab her handcuffs at the time that she needed to. And when we have Ronnie on, he'll talk about his whole process of snaking the handcuffs from her, and then he'll probably give us some insight into the conversations they've had since then. All right, and if we go to 7 and 8, then I have Ish at 7, and then I have myself at 8. And
I think that's a little high for you, Commissioner.
I'll talk a little more about why I put it at 8. So Ish at 7 is good. He has pretty good running backs. He got Arian Foster at an absolute steal at $1. He ended up getting D'Angelo Williams to cover Le'Veon Bell. So that was actually a pretty good thing. I think his wide receivers are the big issue. So right here, he's depending on two essentially rookies in Philip Dorsett and Kevin White. to be his wide receivers too.
Chris, may I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think that Arian Foster will stay uninjured past the 13th minute of the first quarter in the first game?
wait, can we, like, tunnel introductions? What do you mean? He might slip and break his leg during the intros coming out of the tunnel.
That, you know what? I rarely say this, but I have to agree with Shane on that. I have to agree.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a value proposition, right? Like, so he got him for $1. So that investment of $1, whereas he probably would have spent upwards of 20 or so in the draft on him.
No, yeah. in all seriousness, to have a roster spot of any kind filled for $1 is a big deal in this league when you need as much money as you can for certain people.
Yeah, and he's a starting running back.
Yes, he is. That's right. Unbelievable. Like, that like literally might be the best value pick we've ever had in the history of this league.
It might be.
Yeah, it might be. I absolutely agree. If Ross had kept Josh Gordon, that probably would have been, well, I don't know. That's yet to be proven because we don't know about Josh Gordon. I'll let Eric talk about that a little later. So in terms of myself, we've already mentioned many times I had the most draft money probably in the history of the draft. And my strategy going in was to make the all upside team.
To waste it.
And to make people spend more money than they needed to. So, you know, I drafted a bunch of high upside players. Guys who, you know, basically the way I view it, I'll be in the playoffs or I will be the Puget Trophy holder. And I'm completely fine with that because...
You're used to it. You've done it, what, four times or three times in the last 10 years?
Yeah, and I'm fine.
I seriously believe that Chris is trying to submarine his team and get the Puget Trophy 2 years in a row so he can just be commish and not have to field the team.
that might have a little truth to it.
Wow.
No, that's not true at all, AJ. Come on, man.
Lies!
All right,
man, so you could have done so much more with that money, Chris. I love you. I do. I really do. You're my boy, and you're too intelligent to have not kicked all of our asses. You were being nice to us, man, and I appreciate it. I do.
No, but I mean, the fact is I built a team that has all upside, but I built a team that's deep, too. So I don't have the problems that everyone else has. Everyone's like, oh, I need a running back. Oh, I need a receiver. I'm like, I have plenty of receivers. I have plenty of running backs.
Right. I will say that of all the teams in the league, you are definitely shielded against injury better than anybody else. Like, any of us loses a you know, wide receiver one, running back one, and all of a sudden we're in the doldrums of the league, you know?
I appreciate it. Go ahead, Brett.
I was just saying, I agree with him. That's true.
All right, so now moving on to 9 and 10, we have our guest for today, Ronnie, at 9. You know, he had a precipitous decline down the standings last year. Ooh. After being pretty high in the standings most of his time in the league. And it was definitely injury-based, I say. Mostly injuries. But definitely Dez got him. So he's gonna take that chance again with Dez this year, so we'll see how that works out. And we'll talk to him a little more about his team when he comes on. And then at 10, I have Clint. Clint, he did a good job in the draft. He's learned over the past couple of years, and I definitely think we've made him a better fantasy player, and he has his draft to show for it. But he does have a few deficiencies.
Do you really believe that people will have the opportunity to address deficiencies in their team as the year goes on?
I do, because I'm talking about people who didn't spend all their fab, people who generally engage in trade offers. So there's lots of opportunities for them to improve.
Got it.
Yep. Okay, so at 11 and 12, I have Brad here. So 11, he's at 11. I think he's kind of the clone of the high upside team. So, you know, we're definitely looking at a situation where, you know, he can vault to the top of the standings or just have a very sharp decline to the bottom. So we'll see how that goes.
I agree.
At number 12, we have our rookie. We have Simon. He was shockingly confident for a guy who had never done an auction draft before. But he went into it, and, you know, he stayed calm, and he got some good deals. But then he also did the reach that Shane was talking about with Doug Martin at 57. So, you know, it remains to be seen what's going to happen there. But his team is somewhat incomplete. And he's relying on tight ends for his flex, which is generally a no-no, unless it's a great tight end.
And there's not many of those in the league.
So at 13 and 14, so number 13, I have our friend Eric here. He has a chance to climb up the standings a lot, and it'll depend on the play of his wide receivers, honestly. So the running backs are stellar. He's got four really good guys. But the wide receivers leave something to be desired. But he did pick up Tyler Boyd, which will definitely help him. And then depending on how Josh Gordon comes back, he may have a star on his hands, and it'll really help his team. And then 14, I have Roland. We already talked about it, $70-something on quarterbacks.
Putrid.
That'll put you all the way down at the bottom every single time. The only thing that will make you even worse is if you're like Technis and you acquire three top tight ends and try to trade one. That's pretty much the only thing that'll make you worse than that. So Roland's going to have a long way to go to get back up the standings. But, you know, he has won a championship, so let's never doubt him. All right, so that's my wrap-up of the Commission's Power Rankings.
All right.
Thank you, Chris. I have my issues with it, Chris, but I will always appreciate the time and effort that you put into it, man. So I want to go ahead and acknowledge that right now. Thank you very much, brother, for all the work you do in this league. Absolutely. It wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for you, bro.
Yes, sir. I'll second that.
All right. Now that we've gotten the commissioner's corner out of the way, I'd like to bring in our guest for week one. A lot of you all know him as the great one. I know him as the one who is undoubtedly selfish, but we'll get into reasons for that a little bit later. Just know that he owes me one, and I will cash that in immediately. But Ronnie, welcome to the Extraordinarily Fresh podcast, sir. Welcome, welcome.
What's going on, everyone? Thanks for having me.
So, first thing we want to do is let's talk about how your team sucked it up last year. How did you feel about that team going towards the playoffs and the end of the season?
Oh, I mean, I expected that. As soon as I lost Dez at the beginning of the season, that's really all I had. He was the only piece that I had to sort of keep me above water to give me any kind of to give me anything for that matter going in. So when he got hurt, I tried to trade him to sort of keep myself going, but nobody wanted to actually give me something that I needed. So I sort of just tanked and hoped for the best, and luckily I didn't get the putrid award.
Right. You dodged that bullet. So talk to me about this Mike Wallace this Mike Wallace deal. $9 you spent for him on the draft. This Mike Wallace, like,
that's me taking a flyer on somebody going to Baltimore, going to a new environment, hoping that he actually with somebody that has a big arm like Flacco, he can hopefully find him downfield a few times, and he maybe be able to rekindle some of that what he had in Pittsburgh for a few years.
Okay. So what about Spencer Ware?
Oh, I wanted him.
But
Brad kind of jumped in on that one. When I saw Ross nominated, I looked at it. I said, because I had him in my queue. As soon as we started the draft, Spencer Ware was the first person I actually put in my queue. I said, I'm going to wait to the very end and try to snake him. When many people don't have much money, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have a lot more money than most people, because I'm usually kind of conservative in those drafts. But and it worked for the most part, except Brad had enough left as well, and he kind of, when he jumped in the bid and he started to go up, I went up again. He went up. I'm like, hold up, what's going on? And he kept going and didn't stop. And I'm like, oh, shucks. Like, and so I'm like, yeah, that's too much for what I was trying to spend for Spencer Ware. So I dropped out.
Gotcha. Hey,
Rodney, this is AJ. Do you remember who nominated that pick?
That was Ross, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I think that was Ross. Because Ross wanted him. He thought he was going to get him for like a dollar or two. Nobody was going to really pay attention. And I knew I had more money than Ross had, so I was just going to keep playing with Ross until I got up to he stopped pretty much. But then when Brad jumped in there, it was all over, because I'm like, he had like 50, I had like 50, so we would have been going until somebody had no money left, and so I wasn't willing to do it, so I dropped out. I didn't want to end up spending $35, $40 on Spencer Ware.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, and then it's a dangerous game if you keep flirting with pushing up the price. and they quit before you do.
Right. Which I believe happened to Roland or somebody else on them quarterbacks too.
So, hey, since we got you here with us tonight, Ronnie, here that you're in a play, so you want to talk to us about this play that you're in?
Oh man, yeah, you know, I'm dibbling and dabbling in a little acting and out there, you know, in the community in Peoria, Illinois, for any of you that may be in the area, there will be more. But yeah, I was in Memphis the Musical. Had a chance to play Bobby Dupree, the janitor, if any of you've heard of that. It was on Broadway a few years ago. And I had a chance to play that particular role. Like I said, it was new to me because this is my first time technically being on stage in this capacity, having to act, sing, and dance all at the same time. I've been singing all my life pretty much, but having to dance and then act at the same time, it was a little stretch, but it was fun. Had about 18 days, well, I say about 15 days to run the show, and did pretty good. Took a lot of energy, got a lot of recognition, had me out on Facebook, and gave me some shout-outs all over the place. So, yeah, it was pretty good time.
Well, that's phenomenal, man. I definitely got to check them out on some future productions. So what is your expectation for your team this year? I know everyone goes into the draft and the rookie draft, basically vying to be able to be in that championship game. So for you, what is your expectation for your team this year?
I'm just looking to get back into the playoffs. If I make it back into the playoffs, I think anything can happen at that point. But like I said, as Skip called me in the power rankings, you know, I got the all injured team. So all my receivers, I'm looking to for all of them to have bounce back years. We already see Kevin Benjamin tonight in this game having some big catches and making some plays, scoring touchdowns, and so that's a good sign going into as the season progresses. Hopefully we get the same thing out of Dez and Jordan Nelson. As long as they stay relatively healthy, and you know, I have Drew Brees, you know, I got some decent upside tight ends. My running back situation is a little but we'll see how that goes. But as long as I think if my receivers do what they're supposed to do, I should be able to be pretty competitive from week to week. So hopefully I can get back up there in the playoffs.
So what was your take on the draft? I know a lot of people had their opinions, but what was yours on how your team was constructed, but then also just overall with the pricing that was used for the players?
Yeah, that honestly, this draft was horrible in my opinion. I went into this draft looking to get a running back, RB1, RB2. I knew I had basically Ameer Abdullah as roughly a flex back, but I went in here looking to get a running back because I had my receiver solid. I had a good rookie in Corey Coleman out of the rookie draft. So I was like, if I get my running backs, my team is ready to go. By the way, there's Kevin Benjamin again while we're doing this, as we're looking at this at that time. So I figured my wide receivers were ready, but so I went in looking for a running back. And when we first started the draft, I had the first nomination. I nominated Mark Ingram. I said, let's get it started right now. Let's go ahead and let me get him out the way. And when that price inflated, like, immediately, it sort of put a shock to me because I was expecting to spend roughly around $35-ish dollars for a running back, and it jumped to, like, $45 like in, like, 2 seconds. And I was like, nah, something's going on. I don't know what's going on. So when I was a little price shocked, and so it sort of messed me up for the rest of the draft when it came to trying to get my running back. So I ended up with a bunch of handcuffs and second string running backs. Besides, I mean, even Danny Woodhead, who was the second string running back, is a decent back to have. But as my RB1 or RB2, whichever one you want to look at it as, right, it's not that good, especially since I spent $35 more.
Understandable. Well, hey, I know you got a lot going on. We don't want to hold you up from being on Broadway. Definitely want to thank you for coming out and being a part of the podcast. We look forward to many more with you. So we appreciate you coming out, sir, and best of luck to you in gaining that Putrid Trophy, which is where you belong.
I doubt that'll happen this year. Trust me, y'all will have me on this podcast a few more weeks for being high points or something coming up. So, yeah, just mark my word.
Such confidence. Well, we appreciate that.
as we move
forward. Well, I'm not going to say anything about whether or not that's going to happen, but I do have to say that that boy was cold in Skip's wedding, man. That boy good. Somebody pass the plate around.
Appreciate that, AJ.
Man, it's all love, brother.
So, hey, and by the way, I was rooting for you in that championship game, by the way, just so you know. Skip said it, Chad is well-deserving of a championship. I just wanted to say that's not what I was hoping happened.
Man.
So I was actually rooting for you to win that championship.
It's coming, brother. It's coming.
I'm not rooting for you no more. I was just rooting for you.
I know. I don't blame you, but it's coming. I just want you to know it's coming.
Yeah, from what I heard, you changed your tight end at the last minute.
Literally, I had to call Chris to make sure it went through. It was so sad.
Should have left it alone.
I should have just left my – hey, look, lesson learned. Leave. Hey, for all you gentlemen, leave your lineup alone. Don't be a Ruxin. Yeah, I was a Ruxin.
You took some ammunition away from my
robbery. I was a Ruxin last year, y'all.
So with that, we're going to move on to these week one matchups. As I'm going through looking at them, a couple of them kind of stand out. AJ, yourself, you're going up against Ross. Jewel is going up against JR. Myself going against Ish. And Ronnie going up against Simon, the rookie. So we have quite a few... matchups here that...
My despise of Ross is on record and has been for a long time. And I have no problem saying it's because I hate the fact that he's won in this league multiple times. And I feel like he cheated every time. So this win, this victory that I'm about to have is going to taste so good. Ross, I hope you're listening, and I hope you cry when you lose.
Wow. There's definitely no crying in football. I strongly doubt that it happens.
Ross football doesn't play football.
Unless you lose by 2/10 of a point.
We got the two bottom feeders playing each other this week. So see if I can take out the money man with the two quarterbacks.
Well, Eric, what is your take? Do you think you're going to come away with the victory?
You know, CJ's having a game tonight. I'm just watching it while we're talking. So, it's going to be – every matchup's tough, but, can only play one of those quarterbacks. So he's got some weaknesses. I'm not looking at his team right now, but I notice he's got a few – I have some holes too. So it should be tight, but it would be nice to get off to a good start, even if it's against possibly the worst team in the league.
Right. Well, there's one matchup we haven't talked about, and Brad, you're going against Chad this week. You expect to pull out a double-digit victory this week?
Oh man, like I said in the chat the other day when the schedules came out, I said so. I get to champ the first week. Did anybody see that Alabama USC game last Saturday? Chad seemed to think that he caught some bad luck, and he gets me week one since I won the Spencer Ware lottery. But I told him I don't know about it being bad luck, but we'll see. I definitely got a better chance at it this year than I did last year, so hopefully I can at least average 100 points and give him a game.
So with that, do you think that you could potentially have a week one upset against the champ?
Sure, it's possible. I mean, we'll see what the Patriots look like, if Gronkowski, if they have any issues without Brady being there or anything. If that helps me out, but if Spencer Ware, comes through, and I have a fighting chance. Yeah, I don't count myself out.
Right, and that's fair. My matchup this week against Ish, I don't know. It projection wise, it looks like it's supposed to be in my favor. As it stands right now, it's kind of tight. I have both Funches and Emmanuel Sanders going in the game tonight, so. Not really getting a huge, huge amount of production out of them, but, first game is still early, so we'll kind of have to wait it out and see, but hopefully I can maintain a lead and capture that week one victory. With that, we are going to factor in everything that we've talked about today, from the commissioner's horrible corner, these atrocious post-draft power rankings. We've talked about Zeke going for $97 with a 20% and 25% increase over the next 2 years. So he's going to have one player on a 19-team roster with over half of the budget gone. Kudos to you for making all of us wonder how in the hell you're going to pull that off, Eric. Brad, hey, you got the champ week one. That's a tough draw if you pull off the upset. Understand that karma is evil, because I believe that I did that to Ross, and I think for the rest of the year I finished like 6-4 at the most. So it was great, but karma came back and smacked me around a bit. So,
I beat Ross week one last year for my first game in the league, and then you know, the rest of the year was below mediocre, we'll say. So we'll see.
Yes, and that's the thing. Any given Sunday is very true with us. So I think we got a lot going on this week. There's a lot of things that took place with the draft, some new faces, some similar faces as always. It's curious for me to see how week one's going to turn out. But I want to thank AJ, Eric, and Brad for coming out tonight, being on the podcast. Appreciate your energy, guys, your input. This is the first of many that are going to come, and we look forward to some great things out of each of you, except when you play me, because I am the president, and quite frankly, you cannot ignore the prowess that's going to come from that, and that is a touchdown. I'm sorry. I'm trying to wrap it up. So
I want to say thanks to AJ, you know, the commish, president, a.k.a. President Brad, Roland. I'm excited to be in this league. I learned my rookie mistakes last year, so hopefully I'll do better this year. But it's just an honor. It's a blast. It's great having this podcast. So thanks to the commish for getting this set up.
Very much so. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for week one of the Extraordinarily Fresh Fantasy League Podcast. I'm your host, Shane, at BKA The Prez, and we will see you guys in week two after I have won and taken high points.